All right, hi everybody, and welcome to part four in this ancient history program of History at Our House for the junior and senior high class. Part four is entitled Classical and Hellenistic Greece. So, what does that mean? Well, we already know the distinction between archaic and classical. All right, so things that are archaic are extinct, and humanity has decided that they deserve to be extinct. Things that are classical are also of a culture long gone. However, they've been preserved. They are considered to be early accomplishments of humanity that deserve to be sustained and honored and followed in modern times. So that we call classical. So we're getting into that classical period finally, right? Because Athens has emerged as a democracy. This is a progressive step for Greece. And soon we are going to see Athens flourishing and giving rise to so many of the cultural values that underlie the distinctiveness of Western civilization. Without Greece, we don't get science, physical science. Without Greece, we don't get philosophy. And thus, we don't get politics and we don't get freedom. And we don't, without Greece, we don't get the science of history. So we might keep records, but we would never study it scientifically. And so there literally is no history at our house without Greece as well. And that's just the beginning. There's no beautiful art. There's none of that tradition of realistic and romantic art, which then also is revived by people later on, like Michelangelo. And there's none of those wonderful developments. So that's the classical part of our story that we're just about to embark on. And it's the most exciting part because it's Greece at its best. And it is the most wonderful emerging culture in ancient times by far. And then sadly, it's not going to last. It's going to go through a period of decline. And that is what we call the Hellenistic period. So it's a lesser time. And then Greece is going to disappear off our scopes, essentially. And we are going to have to transfer our attention to a new topic. So in part five and in part six, that topic, if you didn't already know, is going to be Rome. So the Romans are going to conquer the Greeks and then they are going to carry the torch from then on until the fall of Rome, of course, in 476. So this is kind of where we are headed. And so this is the beginning now of this next part. Now that Athens and Sparta are there, and the allied city-states and neighboring city-states are all there, well, we're going to see what Greece was able to do in this classical period before the decline and fall. And, well, it doesn't get more dramatic than this. Today, I'm going to introduce you to the theme, the most important war in all of history. Number one. This, for me, beats World War II. Which would be the most natural choice, you know, in terms of greatest war. Certainly the most casualties, certainly the most dead people, right? Most destructive, most devastating in terms of body count and so on. Before that, it was World War I. That was massively important. I mean, these are world wars. Wouldn't you expect them to be the most important in all of history? Well, I have my reason here, and I'm going to show it to you. And you want to be really intrigued to see what your response is to this. Because, right, we have this concept of importance. We're talking about things that shape the world, have shaped it into what it is today. And in terms of importance, something is important if it changes the world from the way that it once was into the way that it is now. And to what degree, of course, determines how important it is. So that's what we're talking about here, is we're talking about events that changed the whole world, and which one changed it more than any other? Well, I'm going to make the case that the war we are about to study did it more than any other could possibly change, including any modern war, because there's something about changing history in the past which has such powerful repercussions that the consequences far, immeasurably outweigh anything that has happened in modern times. How's that possible? Well, I'm going to show you here. This is a timeline that does not include the other events of the world. I'm going to expand this for you guys, because at your level, I also include the other civilizations, namely Russia and India and China, in a more global perspective. But this is a timeline that I use for the younger students, and it just shows us in a more kind of self-contained way or more constrained way the same events that we've already been studying. Hopefully that's visible enough for you. I realize that it could be a little bit small, and if you want to control it, I know that you have controls of some sort on terms of maximizing and in terms of zooming. So if you really need to look at something in particular, I think you can control that. But I'm going to leave it at this resolution, even though it's not huge, because I want you to see the whole. So here is what we've studied so far. I've filled in everything. So everything that we've looked at before is labeled here, including stuff we haven't discussed more recently, but which I know you know from before. So I've put it all on there. This is our story so far. Now, if we were to add the Greco-Persian War, here's what happens. Ready for it? This is going to blow your mind. 1, 2, 3. Whoa! Check it out! It all changed, didn't it? Or did it? Does that look awful different to you? Need to go back to the other one? How different is it? Here's the original. And watch how incredibly different the new one is. Wait a minute, did anything change? Now Timothy and Nemo are saying, yes, something changed. Okay, but my question for you is, did the world change?
The world that we live in doesn't look like it changed.
Right. Okay, did the world change? And that question, of course, is asked person-centrically, and the question is of our concern. Did our world change? Well, yeah, it changed, because you guys are all spotting this little link here, right? That I added. Greco-Persian War, 500 to 449. All right, so there's a new link. And these links are very interesting links, right? We've got two others like that. What is this? We've got this one, and we've got this one. What kind of links are these in our Portal Land chart of the past? What are they good for? Why don't we just have horizontal lines, you know, in our Portal Land chart? What are the horizontals and what are the verticals? You can't answer that? What's the blue line? Julia?
I'm Well, there are connections between civilizations.
All right. Well, you're answering my overall question. I started breaking it down in order to see whether or not you guys needed help. So what's the blue line, Juliet?
That's America.
Okay. What's the green line?
Europe.
Okay. And the brown line?
The brown line? Oh, that's Islam.
Okay. Islamic civilization. And then we got Egypt, Mesopotamia, and Persia back here purple. All right. So the horizontal lines, those are literally our time lines, right? Because they are along the time axis in the same place. The same place over time. Okay. Now, Juliet, explain the vertical lines again.
They show connections between civilizations.
Okay. All right. So the big one is a connection between Europe and America, right? Because you don't get this timeline without this vertical line. That is one heck of a connection. None of this happens if this doesn't happen. So that's a huge one, right? This is the biggest of all of our vertical connections because everything depends on it. We have another vertical connection over here, right? Which is the European impact on the Islamic world. All of this stuff that's going on here, the discovery of the Rosetta Stone, King Tut's tomb, that's being done by Europeans. What are they doing over there in the Middle East? Well, they're seriously impacting it. They are radically changing the shape of that part of the world. And so that's why we have a green line, because there's a connection. Okay, but notice here that the green line does not change. I mean, in our map, we do have something in our timeline, which is more subtle, which has more dimensions to it. I put green and brown together because there's an ongoing influence. Okay, but essentially the brown continues, which means that this contact does not extinguish the brown line. Okay, so now let's use that fact, right? Green touches brown, but does not change it to green. Get that? Green touches brown, but does not change it to green. That means that it's still brown. Okay, now take that over here. Describe this situation. What do you see there in terms of colors? Guys, maybe need help with that in terms of visuals. What do I do to zoom in more? There it is. What happens? Based on the pattern of what I did before. Keen?
We have contact, but no change.
Okay, purple touches gray, but...
Gray, it survives.
Gray continues. Right, okay. Okay, purple touches gray, but gray continues. All right, now, that is what's so essential. Which is why, when you look at this one... Right? And then you compare it to this one. What's the big deal? By adding the Greco-Persian War here, do we change anything? Seemingly not, right? I mean, all of the rest of it stays the same. Well, because that's because the purple did not erase the gray. That's still, all of this stuff over here still happened. Because the purple happened, but it didn't stop the gray. The gray continued to happen, and all of the rest of these things happened. Then the green, and then from the green to blue, and all of that. Okay, so what would have happened if, here's why this is the most important war in history. What would have happened if the Greeks lost? Well, here's the best case scenario. Ready for this? Now you're going to see some changes. Oh, yeah. Ready for the best case scenario? Best case scenario. Did you see any changes this time? What's the most dramatic change? Abby?
There is no America. There is no blue.
All right. What do you guys think of that? What do you guys think of there is no America? Is Mr. Powell just tripping, as they say? Is Mr. Powell gone crazy? And you know, this doesn't make any sense. Now, come on. If the purple, is it far-fetched, as Timothy says? Or is it real? If it seems far-fetched to you, that's fine. But it's true. It is absolutely true. This, as I said, is my best case scenario for what happens in history. I'm not showing you my worst yet. This is my best case scenario. Okay, because, well, I want you to notice something, right? Here's something strange. If Persia conquers Greece, well, notice what anchor fact disappears. And why does that happen, by the way? What anchor fact disappeared over here? We still have one, but we don't have them both. Juliet?
We don't have the democracy anymore.
Okay. So, why not, guys? Why is Athenian democracy no longer an anchor fact of history? If Persia conquers Greece? 8 years after democracy is born in the first place? Abby?
Well, they probably wouldn't have followed it because they were a very archaic civilization.
Yeah, the Persians wouldn't have adopted democracy from the Greeks. So what would have happened to democracy?
It would have just basically died.
It would have disappeared. It would have died. It would have disappeared completely. And so are there any people over here in Europe that are looking back to Greek democracy and thinking, hey, let's do that? Isn't that a good idea that our Greek ancestors once had? Is there anybody that can look back at that ever again? What happens to the anchor fact? It's gone. Now, remember what I said at the beginning of class? What else did those Greeks do again? What else doesn't exist if classical Greece never arises? Because, yeah, Theo has got one of the answers. There's no science of history. What else? Abby?
There's none of the beautiful art we can enjoy today.
None of the art. The Romans didn't know how to do that. They learned that from the Greeks. There's no art. There's no philosophy. There's no history. There's no physical science. And that is not far-fetched. There's only one civilization that did all those things. And it really did them. Not that was flirting with them, not that was kind of, oh, taking this little baby step forward. I mean, if you go to China, you'll see that there were historical records kept by the monarchy. That's not history. If you go to different places, if you go to India, there was some interesting tinkling with mathematics. If you go to Mesopotamia, you'll see they were looking at the stars. Yeah, there was, every once in a while, there was a little dabbling here and there with some fun stuff. But there was no science, not science. Science is a very specific type of inquiry, rational inquiry into nature and how it operates. The Greeks invented that. Philosophy is rational inquiry into human life. The Greeks invented that. Art is looking and enjoying and celebrating the human body and the natural world. The Greeks invented that. History is rational inquiry into human events. The Greeks invented that. So, what happens when none of that gets invented? Because the Persians weren't going to do it. Nobody else ever did it. Nobody else ever did it. What happens, Abby?
We're stuck in the dark age.
We're stuck. The whole of humanity is stuck back on the archaic plateau forever. Until, who knows, somebody figures out some new stuff and starts improving life. But we're stuck, and we're not going anywhere. Is there a Renaissance without Greece? What's the Renaissance? French word has a specific meaning. Juliet?
It means rebirth.
Rebirth of what?
It means the rebirth of Greek civilization, essentially.
Yeah, essentially Greek, because we do say the Renaissance is Greco-Roman, but if we look at the Romans, everything that we're talking about is what the Romans learned from the Greeks. So essentially, your point is very well made, Juliet, essentially we're talking about the rebirth of Greek civilization. So if it's never born, can it be reborn? And who's this guy Columbus, by the way? Right? This guy over here on our incredible, you know, timeline of actual events, we got this guy, Christopher Columbus, and he discovers America. Well, guess what kind of man he is? He is a perfect exemplar of what is called a Renaissance man. Why? Because everything that he is about is the rediscovery of the science of geography. Reviving the work of Greek geographers like Ptolemy, who created the first world map, and trying to understand the shape of the world, the size of the world, where you can go and can't go, and what do you do, and, you know, how do you sail west? Why would you bother doing that? Well, that doesn't happen unless he has all of that experience and influence from ancient Greek geography. So you think this is far-fetched. Who's going to discover America and why? Why bother? What did Columbus say to the world? He said, we can go west to go to Asia. Well, what if there's no Asia to go to? What if you're already in Asia? You're not going to get anything reborn, first of all. So this is the best case scenario. At least the Europeans are here. Maybe they've got Christianity, maybe they're living in a certain way, but they're stuck. They're in the Dark Ages because they can't do any better. There's no Greece to help them rise up. And meanwhile, Islam comes along, and so they're over there, and the Christianity's over here. It's very much the arrangement of the Dark Ages until the Renaissance. Then things change. Okay, but without Greece, absolutely no reason for anybody to be interested in the science of geography, let alone be an original, incredibly courageous explorer like Christopher Columbus and go find a new continent. So there's no America. There just isn't. There's no reason for anybody to go find it. Are there people here? Yeah. They came over from Asia way back when there was a little bit of global warming back then too. There was supposedly a land bridge from Asia to the Americas, and they walked over and settled down and then sacrificed each other to the gods. And they weren't going anywhere. The Aztecs and the Incas and their barbarous cultures, never mind the Stone Age people in North America, they were never going to create a historical civilization. So what do we have? There's nothing. There's no history for America. There's no line whatsoever. Wow. Okay, but that's the best case scenario. Because in my scenario, Rome at least survives. Abby, go ahead.
We would be, that what you just said just made me think, we would be, if we were living in America and not in the European Dark Ages, we would probably be doing some sort of Native American tribal ritual.
Yeah, well, that's if you have, you know, if you have so-called Native American blood, right? I mean, my ancestors are from Wales in the British Isles, so presumably I would still be stuck in, you know, primitive tribal life on the British and somewhere in Britain, and who else, right, would be in different places, assuming any of us exist at all, right? So anyway, yeah, it's a fun kind of humorous maybe what if to try to imagine that. But this is only part of the answer, because this one assumes that at least Rome survives. But Rome is able to fight off the Persian Empire. And perhaps this is gray instead of green, which might be better than green, but I don't know. So perhaps it's gray instead of green, but, you know, we don't need to agonize over that. But here's the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is even Rome doesn't survive. So, what happens? Abby?
We are part of this archaic Persian Empire still.
That's it. That's right. Exactly. We're all in that empire. If we think of it on a global scale, probably you have two empires. You have the Persian Empire and the Chinese Empire in Eurasia. I can't imagine anybody standing up to those, including India. India would be conquered by the Persians. And then the rest of it, you know, what we call Russia today, would be inside of the Chinese Empire. And they would have the whole thing divided up. And who knows? They probably just wouldn't pay any attention to Africa because there just wouldn't be any reason to. But there's no America. Who in Asia would care? Right? How does America get discovered? It gets discovered by a Renaissance European who wants to get to Asia in a very original way. That's how America gets discovered. So, who's going to discover America if there's no Renaissance? Never mind. Who's going to discover America if there's no Europeans? And there hasn't even been a Rome. Are the Persians going to do it? Why bother? They don't want to go to China. The Persian Empire in this history has carved out half the world for themselves, and China has the other half, and that's it. They don't need to go to China. They don't want to trade with China. They already own half the world. So, you work out the logic of it, and you find the flaw. You try. Go ahead. You try to find a flaw in this presentation. And you tell me, no, Mr. Powell, we could totally have all these things. You're wrong, and so on. Well, I've studied the entire history of mankind, every part of it. And I've not found anywhere in the entire thing, any culture like classical Greece. It does not exist. There's nothing that matches it. There's no other. They were the only ones that ever did it. Which is not the things that we're talking about. Art, science, history, philosophy. All of these inventions. So, take those things away. And where are human beings collectively? They're still on the archaic plateau. That's what makes us different in modern times. I mean, you can point to the technology. That's the obvious part. But technology is applied science. You don't get that without the science. Where does the physical science come from? It comes from the Greeks. And it's a very complex development. And it requires philosophy alongside of it as well. Because philosophy defines rules of logic and logical inquiry, rules for thinking that guide scientists. So they go together. And philosophy goes with politics. So you don't get freedom without thinking about the conditions under which human beings need to live in order to flourish. So they go together as well. And you don't get art without any of these things combined as well. So you don't get modern life. It just doesn't come about. And nobody knows that it's not there because, well, they just can't think of it. Now, does somebody come along and invent these things in this other world? Yeah, maybe they do. Right? But it doesn't look anything like ours. Nothing. So that's worst case scenario. That is, in fact, I mean, I think it's somewhere in between. Usually is. When you talk about worst case versus best case, usually what happens is somewhere in between. So it probably resembles this somewhat. I could easily imagine that the Persians would not be able to conquer the Romans, and as a result, there would be Western Europe, and that would be, well, a strange sort of place that had some values that we recognize as Western, and it would still end up being a militaristic empire, and it would still degrade, and it would still fall apart, and European tribes would come, but they would have nothing, they would not learn anything from ancient Greece, and consequently they'd be stuck in the Dark Ages, and who knows how well they would do for themselves, but, you know, it looks something like this. But you take away that one ingredient, it's like taking away the entire, it's, you know, if you look at a building like the Empire State Building, you see it soaring up into the sky. Now, if I said to you, I can take away one piece and the whole thing goes away. Is that true? It's possible, right? What do I have to take away, Julia?
You have to take the foundations.
Ah!
Yeah.
Exactly. So there, if I take away on the island of Manhattan, what you do is you drill down to the bedrock, and you create what are called pilings. So if I take away the piles, that's it. That's the only ingredient I take away. Can there be an Empire State Building? No. I don't take away anything else except the piles, which is to say the foundation. You take away the foundation, the whole thing disappears. So that's exactly why the Greco-Persian Wars are the most important war in history. Because Greece is the foundation. Without the foundation, the entire thing disappears. There's something else, but it basically looks like a big pile of rubble. Just like the Empire State Building would look like if it didn't have a foundation. It's not particularly impressive. There's still a bunch of people, but they ain't up to much. Because they haven't been taught how to live like real human beings by the Greeks. Shocking. But true! My son's reading a book, something about Strange But True. He's reading a book called Strange But True. Yeah, so... I should write a book called Shocking But True. Without Greece, you wouldn't be here. It's true. What do you think? Mind blown? Can take away a lot of the pieces. You know, you could take away the pyramids of Giza and we'd still be here. You could take away any of that stuff in purple and we'd still be here. Right? There's a lot of stuff you can take away in the world turns out pretty much like it is now. For some people, of course, it's different. But you can't take away the gray. Without the gray, there's no green. Without the green, there's no blue. That's it. The foundation is gone. So that's why I think of this war that we're going to study here, this war where the purple touches the gray but doesn't change it. This is the most important because everything else that happens over here, well, it can't even happen if this takes all of that away. There's no such thing as a world war over here, right? None of this history happens. There's no America to save Europe from itself over and over again in modern times, right? Is none of that. So that's what I mean by the most important. It changes everything. Abby?
It really is mind-blowing. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking... my life kind of right now depended on whether or not the Greeks won that war.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's my point. That's what I want you to think of. Because when you look back to the past, I think you could say, and you could argue that most people would accept, well, what if the founding fathers had never rebelled? Right? And then you could say, well, okay, my life would be different today, wouldn't it? Yeah, sure it would. That's obvious, right? Because the United States doesn't exist. Well, okay, the British Empire continues to rule over North America. All right, well, we still get this kind of a modern world. It's got a different character than it would today, but and we could see how it's different, right? So we see that. What if Columbus had never discovered America? Okay, and a person today would probably, you could talk to them, and within a span of a couple minutes, you could show them, oh yeah, my whole life would be different. And so on, right? But here is the fascinating thing, is we can take that further and further back. If Rome hadn't fallen, the world would be different. Of course, if Jesus didn't come around, the world would be different, right? And so on. That's what anchor facts are, right? They are the events that made the world what it is. And in this case, the event that made the world what it is the victory of the Greeks over the Persians kept that gray storyline going. Kept it going, because without that, there's none of this. It just doesn't happen. Okay, I have spent enough time on that, as fun as it is, and I enjoy it so tremendously that we took basically most of the class to do that. But that's part of what excites me about history, and again, I always want to transmit that to you guys, is that, right, the point here is that you can appreciate, you can see things, you can grasp things about the world that, well, if you didn't know history, you're walking around not getting any of this, right? The world is a way more boring place if you don't get something like this. This adds a whole dimension of excitement, because the world as you know it, right, it's just this tenuous thing that it came to be by virtue of certain things, and you know what they are. And yeah, this just gives you a whole different insight into the world. I feel bad for everybody that doesn't know this stuff, which is most people. Because they're walking around and they don't get it. They don't get how incredible the world is. And it's easy to be bored if you don't get this stuff. Because if you look around in the world today, and you look at the kind of stuff that's available on reality TV and the pop music and just the various aspects of the culture, and you spend, you know, it's you look around at the various things that are out there, there's a lot of discouraging stuff, there's a lot of demoralizing stuff, there's a lot of boring stuff. The world is not that exciting, apart from technology is pretty amazing stuff, but in a lot of other ways it's pretty discouraging. So, you know, what's exciting about the world that we live in? One of the most awesome things is its story. How did it come to be that way? It gives you a whole other appreciation, and for whatever it's worth, that life today is flawed, and we have our problems, and problems we can't solve, and so on, right? But it's still incredible. It's still wonderful. And it can help reinforce that for you if you need it, and I have needed it a lot in my life. It can help reinforce that premise that the world is an amazing place, and it's great to be alive. All right, so what I didn't get to today is the story of how Greece and Persia collided. I had intended to, and I gave you a little self-test with some hints on there about what happened, but I'm just going to go ahead and sneak that into the beginning of tomorrow's lecture. It's not a really long segment anyway, and so instead of dragging things out today, I'm going to do that. I have the test 3 grading key to get in your hands as well. So I've got plenty to do. So let's just go ahead and end today's lecture where it normally should end, but never seems to quite end at half past. So let's just go ahead and say we did what we needed to do today. And we'll pick things up with the collision of Greece and Persia tomorrow, first thing. And we'll just get into the story of the Greco-Persian Wars. All right. Thanks, guys. Talk tomorrow.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Thank you so much. Bye.
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 Bye.